Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm your host, Michael Dove, and today I have as my special guest, Julianne Engel. Now, Julianne is a very special person, and let me describe her just a little bit here. Julianne focuses on helping people create optimal health by combining ancient wisdom and modern advances. Now, she has over 25 years of experience in pharmaceutical education and counseling and integrative health. She has practical experience in pain management, diabetes, hypertension, gastrointestinal disorders, bacterial and viral infections, sleep agents, and radiation dermatitis. She has this vast, deep background in healing and health and a profound knowledge. Now, Julianne brings her experience and knowledge in traditional and holistic state-of-the-art healing modalities to her work. And her focus is empowering people to take charge of their health so they can create optimal health to literally take healthy back. And I'm very, very pleased and honored to have as a guest on Dove Radio, Julianne Engel. Julianne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm very well today. And how are you doing?
Doing great. It's a beautiful day in sunny California.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I've been very keen on getting you on my show for a long time, because I know how incredible you are and the work that you do and have been doing with people for years. And I'm particularly excited and impressed about the amazing kinds of cutting-edge things that you are involved in. And I want you to explain to the Dove Radio audience a bit of what you do. A bit about your background. I talked about it, but I want you to kind of like let us know who you are.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you again for having me on your show.
All right,
what I'm about is helping people create optimal health, as you had mentioned, by combining ancient wisdom and modern advances. And what I do that in three specific areas. First area is whole food nutrition. The second is energy medicine. Mm-hmm. And the third is the area of hope for viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for the purpose of our discussion today, we're going to be focusing on whole food nutrition.
Yeah.
And really what that means, how you can take charge, provide your body with the best fuel it needs, and that's currently a real challenge.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah, I wanted to ask and really delve into this, okay, why whole food nutrition, what it's about, and why it's particularly important at this time.
Okay, well, it's particularly important for a number of reasons. One, the body uses whole food nutrition very, very differently than it uses supplements. The best way I can explain it is it's kind of like, think of a string of pearls. If you have a string of pearls, that's the whole food, and you put it in the body looks at it and says, one part says, wow, I can really use those first three pearls. And another part of the body says, I can use those second two. And yet another part will say, but I need those last three. That's very different from a supplement, which is just one thing, which the body, which isn't really natural to the body. So the body takes the creativity of a whole food and uses it very profoundly in terms of working towards your overall health.
Yeah.
So whole food nutrition is not only important, it's actually critical and the most important thing you could do for giving your body the basis of health it needs.
Okay. So this sounds like a completely different way of thinking about food and sustenance and health. It feels like there's a whole way that is contrary to the way that we've been taught and conditioned to think about food.
Yes, in a way. Yes, in a way. And I think part of it is we don't have the appreciation for what food really does for us. I mean, people think about, you know, I have to eat three times a day, but they don't realize that food is not only their fuel, but it is also, in essence, their medicine. And certainly we've known that years ago from the great Greek philosophers. But it is so true because there's a whole area of study known as epigenetics. And epigenetics is about how your environment affects your genes. And certainly one aspect of our environment that we can control better than anything is our food. And what they know through epigenetics is that when you're eating the right food, you can literally turn on the good genes, the right genes that are going to protect your body, that are going to support your body, and in fact turn off the bad genes. So that's why food is so critical.
Yeah, I've heard other experts in nutrition talk about the concept of food as communication.
Yes.
It's as if the nature, the universe is communicating to us through food. I know it sounds like an odd idea, but the idea that food is telling us to turn on certain genes and turn off others. This is very intriguing to me. And it makes me wonder about, well, what might a McDonald's hamburger be saying to us?
Not good things.
Okay, well,
not
the
good
slamming McDonald's, because we don't want to get them angry at us. But
well, that's a great point you bring up, because, for example, McDonald's, okay, which I used to work at when I was in high school. All right. The bun of a McDonald's hamburger, for example, has a lot of sugar in it. All right. That's why the bun tends to taste really good to people, because it's loaded with sugar. And sugar isn't particularly great for our bodies. We don't need a lot of sugar. And in fact, if you've ever known anyone who has cancer or is going through anything that is related to an autoimmune disease, they're told to stay away from sugar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting because this is kind of an aside here, okay? I remember years ago when diabetes, which is you're very knowledgeable about diabetes. I remember years ago, it was called sugar diabetes.
Right.
And then somehow they changed that.
Right.
It's just diabetes. And I'm, you know, wondering about the industrial and corporate influence in terms of the kinds of the way that so that we even think about and conceptualize like disease
right.
and food and what is, you know, and what is good for us and what is not good for us.
Exactly. Well, the rule of thumb very honestly is
mm-hmm.
stay away from the processed foods.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from foods that have preservatives in them.
Yeah.
Because remember, anything that you're putting into your body is in fact disassembling and using
mm-hmm.
as fuel.
Yeah.
And so your comment earlier about food as communication, that's actually a perfect way
mm-hmm.
to describe it because
mm-hmm.
when we get that food in our bodies, our body is using it not only as fuel, but it's being told what to do by that food that we're putting
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
sugar, for example, doesn't send a good message. Neither do preservatives, nor do pesticides. And
mm.
then there's the whole area of genetically modified food.
Yes.
Not good messages for the body at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's why I was thinking that what you're doing is so important because of this fundamental educational component, getting people to think differently about what they put in their bodies and be conscious. You see, be awake to the message that everything that goes in your mouth is a communication to yourself. I mean, that's what goes through my mind.
And it couldn't be said any better. It really is. Everything you put in your mouth is a communication to your body,
mm.
either to benefit it or to break it down, real honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you put good food in and whole food is the best food to put in.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a benefit. But when you start consuming the sugars, which the body really can't use to rebuild anything in your body,
mm-hmm.
the body doesn't use sugar to rebuild. It uses it for quick energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't use it to rebuild. And remember, our bodies are constantly regenerating new cells, so we need quality fuel to communicate the proper regeneration of those cells.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is so critically important what you're talking about. And so how does this work with the energetic medicine that you're involved in? Is there some overlap or complementary aspect?
Well, there is. There is an overlap in the sense that in terms of energy medicine, and we'll get into that in more detail
mm-hmm.
in another
mm-hmm.
Interview, but sure. everything is energy,
yeah.
all right? We're energy. Everything that goes on inside of our body is affected by energy. If our cells don't have enough energy, they don't work very well.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
So it's all about how well is your energy working for you and what is working against you. For example,
mm-hmm.
a lot of our modern technologies, they actually work against us because
mm-hmm.
the frequencies of those modern technologies are too high. And they actually confuse the communication between the cells,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Yes.
And that becomes a real problem because the cells can overcome the high frequencies and the confusion, but it comes at a cost.
Yes.
And the cost is your body just spent energy to overcome all sorts of, if you will, white noise.
Uh-huh.
When if you wouldn't have been sitting in front of your TV or sitting in front of your Kindle or had your cell phone to your ear, your body wouldn't have to be spending its energy in that way. and could be sending the energy simply to heal.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
But to me, the basic comes down to, and that's really critical, but the most critical is the fuel, the food that we're putting inside, because if you don't start with a good base, then you are already starting from a supreme disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why I was curious about the complementary aspects here. And so basically, it is about being especially conscious about what goes in and what is communicated to your body, both on a nutrition level, but energetically and otherwise. And
exactly, because for example, even food, we all know food has energy, but the fresher the food, the more energy it's going to have. So for example, if you go to the store and you buy some lettuce, but say the lettuce was trucked in and it took 4 days to get to the store.
Yes.
Okay, well, that means they probably picked it when it wasn't fully ripe because they had to take into consideration that it had to, you know, travel to the store.
Yeah.
And then when it gets in the store, it sits there for at least a day.
Yes.
And then when you purchase it, it probably goes in your refrigerator for at least a day. So all of a sudden, that food that was supposed to fuel your body is now on average 3 to 5 days old. And the energy level it had when it was still growing isn't there. And the nutrients have been depleted.
Yes.
And it's like, so you're starting from not optimum.
And I would add, just as an intuitive here, that food that has been trucked in has also been traumatized and is holding the vibration of the picking, the truck, you know, the packing, the time period. And I believe that it holds that. As a matter of fact, that's been my experience with just working energetically with plants and such. But speaking of plants, what I'm most interested now, something that is called the Tower Garden.
The Tower Garden.
Yes, because I see the Tower Garden as kind of like an answer to this. It's like a way in which we can act proactively about all of these kinds of issues. And so I'm going to let you talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Yes, the Tower Garden is an amazing, amazing tool. It's what I classify as a modern advance. And what it is a state-of-the-art vertical aeroponic growing system. Now, what does that mean? Aeroponic is air and water. Okay? So this Tower Garden, it can grow from 20 to 28 plants growing straight up in the air because it's in a tower, using only air and water and nutrients to grow.
Yes.
All right. And the beauty of it is it was actually the brainchild of a man by the name of Tim Blank. And he worked for Epcot Center, Disney's Epcot, for many years.
Yeah.
And this was his brainchild. And his vision was that of sustainability, so that you could grow nutritious food in a small space with virtually no water, and you didn't need land. And he succeeded. And he created what's called the Tower Garden. And it is, its footprint, if you will, is 2.5 square feet. That's
all the amount
of space you need.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. Yeah, that's amazing to me because I've seen your Tower Garden, and you have it on the balcony in your apartment.
Right, and I truly have the smallest back porch in the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, literally, you walk out my back door, and there's a runner where you can walk, if you will, and I'm on the second floor, and then it jets out to the left, so you can go down the stairs, and where it's jutting out, that's exactly where my tower garden lives.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 2.5 square feet. It fits in that little corner, on the porch, if you will, and it grows. And you do plug it in. The bottom of it is a water reservoir or container that holds 20 gallons of water. But the water recirculates. So you use 90% less water.
Yep.
So I water 28 plants with only 5 gallons of water every 7 days.
Yeah.
No one can do that.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so you just said that you have 28 plants on your porch.
I have 28 plants on your little balcony. I do.
That's amazing. Let's think about that. Okay. What kind of plants do you have? Can you tell us some of them?
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. It's just beautiful.
Okay.
I probably have 8 to 10 different kinds of lettuce. I have cilantro, I have basil, I have radicchio. I have 2 different kinds of tomatoes. I have 3 different kinds of kale. Oh, my gosh. I even have celery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
this is on about 2.5 feet.
2.5 square feet.
Square feet of space on your balcony, second floor.
Right.
That's amazing.
And you can actually even use it inside.
Uh-huh.
You just need what they call grow lights.
Uh-huh.
But I have a client in Arizona, northern Arizona, and she gets the hot and the cold. And she said to me, you don't understand our weather out here. She said, we get fried in the morning and we get frozen at night.
Uh-huh.
And so she got grow lights with her tower garden, and she uses it specifically indoors. And the growth is astounding. The growth in general with this is astounding because, again, when we were talking about modern advances that I deal with, this combination of air and water, it makes the plants grow 50% faster than plants in soil.
Mm-hmm.
50% faster. I do not run out of lettuce. Okay. I have been eating off my tower garden since November of 2015, and I have not gone to the store to buy lettuce, cilantro, kale, none of that.
Wow.
I eat specifically off my tower garden.
And
is out of this world. Sorry.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, and how basically how economical is this? How does this break down in terms of
economically? It's a wonder because you can put the payment of the tower garden on an installment plan, which is what I did, so that you're just redirecting your spending each month as if you were going to the store, but instead you're walking out your back door to your tower garden. So, depending on the size of the tower garden you get, it's between $45 and $65 a month. And most people are spending more than that getting fruits and vegetables from the store.
The difference is
that my vegetables, I know, are organic. I know they're non-GMO, and no one has fresher fruits and vegetables because I walk out my back door, I cut the lettuce or whatever I'm choosing off, the cilantro, and I put it in my bowl and I eat it. And that happens in a 5-minute period.
Wow. That's really quite something. And the point that I wanted to kind of invite you to bring out here is that the aspect of it freeing you or freeing anyone from being subject to or plugged into a food industry that is not about this optimal health. It's
right.
there's a quality of empowerment and freedom, particularly important at this time. You see.
Yes. And I agree with that. And actually, that's why I have a Tyler Berry, because in August of 2015, I learned that Monsanto was buying up the heirloom seed companies.
Mm.
And the heirloom seed companies, of course, are the old seeds that have been around for generations and are being used and passed on. And
yes.
When I heard that Monsanto was buying these up, I literally sat down on my couch and I had this feeling of doom, if you will, because, I mean, come on, these are the people that brought us pesticides and GMOs, and there's nothing positive that they're going to do with the heirloom seeds other than lock them up, modify them, or destroy them.
Yes.
And GMO foods are, quite frankly, very dangerous because the body doesn't recognize these foods as being natural.
Yes.
And when the body doesn't recognize something as being natural, it sets up automatically inflammatory reaction to it.
Ah, so it's like a toxic communication.
Exactly. And here is the problem. Inflammation is the basis of all disease. So all of a sudden you're putting food in you that's supposed to be sustaining and helping boost your health, and you're putting food in you that might in fact be contaminated with pesticides, genetically modified, and your body's having an inflammatory reaction. So when I learned all that, I mean, I just really literally, I plopped my southern end down on the couch and I said, my God, what can be done? And the answer was, I can redirect my spending. Because
yes.
It's clear that these people do not understand anything except the power of money. And I thought,
yes.
Great. So that's how I'll speak. And I won't go to the grocery stores anymore, but I will redirect that spending to my Tower Garden payment.
Yes.
And I will take charge. And I will grow food that is organic, that's non-GMO, that is not picked early, because I simply pick it as I need it.
Yes.
And I will therefore take charge of the nutrients, the freshness, the quality, so I know that the fuel going in my body is truly supporting my body.
Yes, yeah.
And then my passion also became to then educate other people that indeed that there was something they could do that was not only fun, but it was practical, and that they could really take charge of their own health. They could, you know, begin to shift things for themselves. And not only the quality of food going in is better, but the taste is out of this world.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I've tasted some of it, and it's excellent. It's so good that here's what tends to happen is that you remember what food is actually supposed to taste like.
Right.
It's like that's what happens. And the thing which that really made me want to bring you on my show here was that I see a lot of this experience that seems to be kind of pervasive or more prominent now, this experience of helplessness that people fall into, you know, helplessness about being in charge of their lives, helplessness about nutrition, helplessness about other areas. And this Tower Garden seems to be like such a powerful symbolic expression of taking control and being powerful in your life. That's the this deep essential appeal that it has. to me, which is why I'm so impressed with you and your work, and I wanted you on my show.
Well, everything you're saying there is so true, because and it's funny how I see other people experience it, because I bring my tower garden to the Hillcrest Farmers Market on Sundays. And
Hillcrest is in Southern California.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I bring it there every Sunday. And as people walk, fascinating, because they will just stop and they'll stare at it. And you watch their faces, and they're amazed, and they begin to smile, and they're intrigued. And it's sort of like they're just in awe, because not only does it physically look interesting, because I have 10 different lettuces and all sorts of other things coming out of it, but it's so green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? The green is a green that most people don't see.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the food is alive.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when I first saw it, when you first showed it to me, okay, first thing that popped in my mind was the tree of life, that symbol, that principle, that tree of life. And so, and that's essentially kind of what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very well put. Very well put. And even if people don't think of it in those terms, that's in essence how they're reacting to it. It's almost like it's a magnet.
Exactly.
It's physically very attractive. And when you see so many different fruits and vegetables growing on it, you're amazed, and it's like it just draws you in. And I always give someone a taste of the cilantro that grows off of it, because the cilantro has a depth of flavor that I never, ever tasted from cilantro from the stores. Never. And in fact, I am now totally spoiled. I cannot eat even organic lettuce from the stores. I can taste the pesticides in it. Now, here's a little known fact that most people don't realize, that even if a fruit or vegetable is grown organically, if it's trucked in, they spray the trucks.
Oh, yeah.
So it might have started off organic in the soil, but in transportation being brought into the market, they spray the trucks. And my taste buds have now gotten so used to tasting the freshness and the nutrients in the lettuces and the other things I have in my garden that I can actually taste those other things.
Wow.
And it's like, whoa, don't want it.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Well, let's take a little musical break here.
Okay.
And I want to play a tune called Dance of Ganesh. Once again, it's by our dear friend and recording artist, internationally known recording artist, Bradley J. Smith. And we'll take a little break, and we'll come right back. And we are back. Well, Julianne. So I'm very curious. When I hear about this, the Tower Garden, I think of how this can really change people's lives in other ways. And I think of like places that it can be brought to, and what other ways have people been involved with the Tower Garden?
Well, that's a very good question, and there are a number of ways, and one of the most powerful ways, I believe, and I've started doing this, is in working with schools, so that children begin to understand how food is grown, what good food tastes like, the value of good food. But there are so many other positive things that happen as the children get involved with the Tower Garden. For example, team building skills. They're working together in a group. They're creating different tasks for them to do. They're relating with each other. They're having fun. They're learning. It can be used in math and science and art. You know, it inspires children to think differently even about careers. Handling the food. What if one of the kids decides, wow, this smells so good. Boy, I want to be a chef. And they begin to think more creatively. The social skills are improved. Just everything begins to change. And they've actually shown in studies that when children begin growing their own food, they actually take ownership and they will eat it. They actually will eat it. So they're also making themselves more healthy. Right? Instead of going for the candy, they're going for the kale. And it's like, who knew?
That's such a powerful thing, that the far-reaching implications of having this
right,
you know, again, I'm very biased. They call it this tree of life in your midst.
well, and not only the schools, but also think of elder care facilities.
Yeah,
where, you know, people are there because maybe they need some extra support, and yet, you know, they begin to become even more sedentary. And this is a living tool in the midst of them that not only brings life, but again, the nutrient-rich aspect of it, that they can eat off of this. It becomes a conversation piece, a social tool. Just like the schools, they could create their own mini farmers market.
Exactly. It's like a natural project that it lends itself to. And the other thing that comes to my mind is in terms of communities, neighborhoods, there's a great popularity of neighborhood gardens. I've seen some in New York and such. It's neighborhood gardens and urban gardens that the implications in terms of bringing people together.
Exactly.
And creating a food source independence.
Exactly. And
for
that,
communities,
that's
very powerful.
Very powerful. And in fact, the company has made moves in that direction to make that easier.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have a single tower garden, but for example, one of my clients purchased what they call a family garden. That's three of these gardens. So all of a sudden you have 84 growing spots instead of 28. And they now offer what's called a community garden, which is 336 growing spots. Imagine what you could grow.
Oh, my goodness.
This isn't an experiment, because if people will think about it, O'Hare International Airport in Chicago They actually have giant versions of these towers. They have 25 of them. Each garden holds 44 plants. But those 25 towers provide vegetables for the 67 restaurants at O'Hare Airport.
Wow, that's amazing.
Exactly. So if you can provide greens and such for 67 restaurants, you can certainly provide food in the community that is fresh, that is nutrient-rich, pesticide-free, and non-GMO.
Yes.
I mean, it is the healthiest thing you could do for yourself. And have fun.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking about, you know, not to mention the economic implications of areas that can use it.
And I can directly speak to that because, so as we mentioned earlier, I had put my garden on a payment plan, right? And I was paying $65 a month for 12 months.
Yeah.
And this past August, I paid my tower garden off.
Uh-huh.
So I am enjoying salad after salad, herb after herb for the cost of seeds.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how much does a pack of seeds cost you? I mean, maybe $2.50.
Uh-huh.
And that with that, you, depending on the seed you're looking at, you get between 250 and 500 seeds.
Yeah.
And so the cost of seeds and the cost of nutrients for 1 year, and the cost of nutrients for 1 year is only $60.
Oh, excellent.
And it's sort of like, there's no way that you could get less expensive food, but more importantly, I've taken charge and I'm putting a quality of food in me that's really serving my body, that's really helping it be everything it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so critical at this time. It's like people are feeling so stuck in terms of like health, and they don't know that their health has been so sabotaged by all of these different aspects.
Exactly, and people are. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that there's a way of responding to that, taking healthy back.
Exactly. And the point is that, and what most people don't realize right now is that we are in a health crisis. It's not coming a year from now, 2 years from now. We're in it right now. So, for example, they are now predicting that 40% of the baby boomers are going to get Alzheimer's. 40%. All right? And children who are under the age of 10 are not necessarily expected to outlive their parents. This is crazy. And they're tracing it back to nutrients.
Mm.
They're tracing it back to nutrients. Alzheimer's, dementia, autoimmune issues, those are diseases of inflammation. Whether it's inflammation in the body or, for example, with Alzheimer's, dementia, depression, that's inflammation in the brain. Well, remember years ago when your grandma said, eat your fruits and vegetables and go outside and play?
Mm-hmm.
No truer words could have been spoken. Because in your fruits and vegetables are the antioxidants needed to quench or calm all that inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the body actually has mechanisms in place that when you eat the good food that has the antioxidants, and even if you just go out and walk every day, your body has a mechanism to turn on all the internal hormones and various chemicals inside the body that you need to keep you healthy. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen unless you're eating the right antioxidants, i.e. your fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Now, here's a staggering fact.
Uh-huh.
We're supposed to eat 7 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables a day.
Wow.
Okay? And a serving is the considered the size of your fist, whatever the size of your fist is. But that's what we're supposed to eat a day. So it's like, okay, my tower garden is my best friend. Because, again, you know, it's nutrient rich. Pesticide free. The pesticides that are contaminating our food are also a problem. Remember, going back to your statement, Michael, of that food is communication.
Yes.
Well, when there are pesticides in it, your body isn't doing so well.
No, and I shudder to think of what that communication is from a pesticide. I don't even want to think about it.
Exactly. And the genetically modified food is also very scary. Mm-hmm. And again, remember my pharmaceutical background.
Yes.
The body does not recognize genetically modified food as being natural.
Mm-hmm.
So when you consume it, your body's already setting up an inflammatory reaction.
Wow.
And it's like we have to take charge. So it's like, again, as I said, the crisis isn't coming in a month, a year, 2 years. The crisis is here now. And what we need is a health revolution, because it's our health that is at stake if we do not take charge. And I really see the Tower Garden as a, if you will, a symbol of hope, that this is a way that you can take charge.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would like the people to have your contact information. How do we get in touch with you? How do we get to acquire and find out more about a Tower Garden?
Okay. You can get general information about the Tower Garden at a website, simply towergarden.com.
Towergarden.com.
Right. If you want to work with me specifically, the way to do that is go to my website, which is julianne.towergarden.com.
Okay, that's julianne.towergarden.com.
Right, and that's spelled JULIANN.towergarden.com.
Okay, very good. And that information is also on the show page, so you can just there should be some links there from right on the show page to go to towergarden.com. And I would highly recommend to all the listeners, do get in contact with Julianne, because she's able to really work closely and guide and be a powerful, powerful ally in terms of your health and taking charge. She's amazingly gifted in that way.
Well, you know, thank you, Michael. One of the things I just love about the Tower Garden is the fact that it's also fun to watch it grow, because as I said earlier, it grows 50% faster. All the plants grow 50% faster. And the first 4 weeks I had it, I ran to my back door every single day to see how fast it was growing.
Yeah, it's almost like the old Walt Disney movies with the time-lapse photography.
Exactly.
The Walt Disney nature movies.
Exactly. And it's very state-of-the-art. In fact, it was designed in conjunction with NASA.
Yeah.
The nutrients that you put in the water are actually on the space shuttle. They're in powder form on the space shuttle. But, I mean, this system is so well thought out. And, you know, honest to God, I know it's almost Christmas. It really looks and could double as your Christmas tree. You just have to put lights on it.
Yes, you really have to see it.
And, you know, with all the advanced technologies that we have now, most people tend to think of gardening just in the spring and the summer. But one of my favorite phrases that winter is the new spring. I mean, fortunately in California, I can have my Tower Garden outside year-round. But as I mentioned earlier, they do have grow lights.
Yeah.
And you can, for people in the East or people in the Midwest, you can grow inside, and oh my goodness, the rate of growth is just stunning. Stunning.
Excellent. So this is it's a beautiful thing all the way around, and which is why I was so interested in you and wanting you to be on my show. So I wanna thank you, Julianne. This is an amazing work that you're doing, amongst other really amazing things that you bring to people. And I wanna thank you again for sharing with us, bringing this to us.
Well, Michael, it's my great pleasure, because my whole focus is when people are told that there's nothing that they can do, my focus is to show them a way that they can do it, whether it's recapturing their health or eating better nutrition. Many, many years ago, I was very ill, and I was told that I would never get better. And I refused to believe it. And so my focus is that of, if you will, being a champion to bring hope and solutions to people so that whatever they're told, it's like, wow, we can find a way. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Tower Garden is about to me. It's about bringing hope, bringing life, bringing nutrition, and doing it in an extraordinarily fun way.
Yes. Well, I will say that because of that and who you are, you're welcome on my show at any time. So,
well, thank you.
I can't wait to have you back. So I'd like to conclude with a little piece of music called Earth Walk. Once again, it's by our dear friend Bradley J. Smith. Enjoy.
Thank you.